and it's good when the sun shines, isn't it? It makes everybody feel that bit better. We have one congratulations to give this morning, and that's to Georgia, who has been accepted at the biomedical course at Cardiff University. So well done, Georgia. We also remember those who will be getting their exam results next Thursday for the GCSEs, or whatever you call them these days. There are some pastoral envelopes on the serving hatch. I think most have been got, but there is still a couple left out there. So if they're yours, please take them. We welcome our own minister this morning, Karen, to be with us, and we look forward to what she has to say to us. So let us just have a moment before a prayer. Living God, help us to worship, in our worship, to recognise that Christ is here amongst us. Help us to glimpse your glory through him, to hear his voice through this service, to feel his love through our fellowship, and to see more clearly where we can serve him in the needs of our world. Help us to bear his name faithfully and live each day to the glory of his name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. For those that weren't able to be with us last Sunday, we sat and watched a short presentation on how the circuit will work now that we have less presbyters. So as we watch it again, please would you give some thought to what we could do as individuals and as a church, and add our prayers to those already being said. Thank you.
Hello. I'd like to take a few moments to talk to you about the developments in Preston River Methodist Circuit. You will know that over the last few months, we've had significant changes in our staffing. This, in conjunction with the challenges of living in a post-COVID world and the demands that that has put on those who've returned to church, mean that we have significant changes to face in the future. It seems to us as a circuit leadership team that our vision remains unchanged from the one expressed in our statement in 2017 in the Following Jesus Loving Communities document. That is, a Preston River Methodist circuit as a thriving, growing partnership of churches where each person feels welcomed, encouraged and supported to become the disciples Christ hopes we will be. We are asking Jesus to help us rediscover the passion and excitement of being part of his family, a movement of disciples ready to say yes to him, willing to serve him at the heart of his communities. We have consulted with many of you as to the ways forward, and in 2022, your hopes and dreams can be condensed as follows: faith, development and growth, worship that connects, pastoral care, community outreach and development. To realise our hopes and dreams, we will need to free and enable congregations in local communities for mission, to share available resources and to use those resources well, to work in a more flexible and project-based way across the circuit. So, we are aiming to work in a collaborative way, which is a change from our normal delegation of staff to one particular church, so that the strength and energy of each church and staff member will be factored into a new team approach which will be put into place from September the 1st. We are aware that people will need to know who to contact as we are implementing this system, and so each church has a recommended team contact person. In conjunction with that, you will see from the diagram in a moment that we'll be working with all members of staff and volunteers across the circuit on projects to consolidate and grow our hopes and dreams, so that we are supported rather than working on our own, and are working towards being the kingdom of God in this place. All of this is the beginning of a journey, and next year we'll be in an interim year as we hope to have new members of the team in place in 2023. The following diagrams may help you to catch the vision with us. Hello.
You can, of course, put any questions to me as well, that we'll then collect all the questions and send our answers to everybody, because somebody else might have a question that you think, oh, I wish I'd have asked that. And just to let you know as well, where it said Carolyn Hothersall, who's a lay worker at Hull, Hesketh, Bank and Hope, I will be supporting her in the background with those churches as well, just so you know, that's part of my role too. Right. I'm really hoping that some of the children will come up and help me shortly, so be prepared. Our call to worship is from parts of Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives, heals and redeems you. He crowns you with love and compassion. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in love. We gather in this place today to praise, to pray, to share, to learn. May we be open to all that is offered and respond with generosity and love to God. We're going to sing from Singing the Faith 335, Rejoice, the Lord is King. We stand if we're able. Let us pray. Jesus, you call us and unbind us. You whisper our names and set us free. You know our souls and let them live. You hold our lives and grant them purpose. You renew our dreams and make them our future. You transform our living and make us belong. Loving God of transformations, with justice you serve us, and with grace you give us life. May our turning towards you be our praise and thanksgiving. Amen. Now we're going to hear the reading from Jeremiah. And children, if you listen, it's about a boy. So listen to this very carefully.
The Old Testament reading is from the first chapter of Jeremiah, and I'm reading verses 4 to 10. The section is entitled The Call of Jeremiah. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a child. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, Now, I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Amen.
Thank you, Tony. Hands up if you've ever watched football or played football. Okay, well, for now, I'd like you to imagine that we've got a football match going on and Jesus is the referee. So we know it's going to be fair, don't we? We know it's going to be just. He will uphold the rules of the game. So the game's going really well. Both sides are equally matched. Then there's a corner given. There's a tense moment. A player goes over to take the corner, but Jesus blows his whistle and stops the game. No one can work out why. They're looking round. They can't see any reason. But Jesus knew there's someone who, no matter how hard he tried, he hadn't even touched the ball in the whole game. Jesus called him over and asked him to take the corner. That's against all the rules, isn't it? The referee coming in like that. The player was feeling pretty bad inside, but he stood there and he threw the ball in and set it up for another player who scored the goal, the winning goal. That player's self-esteem rocketed and he felt so proud that he'd been able to help someone else achieve the goal. Well, later in the service, we're going to hear about how on one occasion, Jesus broke the rules. And he did this because he stood up for what was right, even if it meant breaking a rule. Now, he'd healed a bent woman who'd been bent over for 18 years. Now, I need some children to help me with this. So please, could you just come out the front? You don't need to say anything. The adults are going to say something. but I need the children. Come on, Ava, be brave, be strong, be courageous. Seren or Violet? Oh, Violet's coming. Good on you, Violet. The youngest of the lot, setting the example. Let's give her a clap. Okay, now I want you to come right up here so everybody can see you. Now, you're going to be this lady that Jesus heals, all right? Now, I need you to stand sideways. Now, you know where your tummy is? Can you bend over as if you're going to touch your toes? Right down, right down, right down. Now, this poor lady... Oh, thank you, Seren. Can you come up and do it as well? This poor lady... It's hard to stay down there, isn't it? Oh, it's all right, it's all right. Thank you, Violet. Can you demonstrate, Seren? Right. She'd been bent over like this for 18 years. It's just what you were doing, Violet. See? Now, 18 years, can you imagine? Her spine had got so fused, she couldn't lift her head up. Adults, what could she see? Feet, the ground. Can you imagine what that would be like? Now, stand up, Seren. Right? Now, you can see lots of different things now, can't you? Now, on the papers at the back, there's a picture of somebody bent over and somebody standing straight. So on the side where they're bent over, I want you to draw or write what you could see if you were walking along anywhere, and then what you can do when you're standing up, what you can see. But not just what you can see, what other people can see. What can you see about her face now? I hope there's one, a big smile. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you. Let's give them a clap. So Jesus was showing that it's people that matter, not necessarily the rules if they're getting in the way of somebody getting what they need. We heard in the reading about a young boy called Jeremiah who God kept speaking to. God said, "Before I shaped you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Knew all about you and had special plans for you." Jeremiah said to God, "But wait a minute, Master God, look at me, I don't know anything, I'm only a child." But God replied, "Don't say you're only a child, because I'll tell you where to go, what to do, and I'll give you the words to say. Don't be afraid because of anyone, because I'm going to be there looking after you." And sometimes, what's that saying, out of the mouths of babes? Sometimes it's the children who say things and call things out that are unjust, because they don't worry about what people are going to think. They just say it. So sometimes we need to look at children and think, yes, they've got it right. So we too are children of God. So we need to be able to do and say and call out what's unjust. So don't let the opportunity slip by when you know something needs to be said or done. God will give you the courage and the words. You just have to open your mouth. Let's pray. Father God, we're sorry that we don't live as we should. We're sorry for the times when we've not stood up for right, when we knew what was happening was wrong. We're sorry for the times when we've let other people down because we've not supported them or stood alongside them in what was right. Help us to see things as you see them. Help us to think of others before ourselves and to always be ready to love and help people. Give us the faith to look out for your way in the world. Help us to know and discern what the most important thing is and to have the courage to act on that no matter what. Thank you, Father God, that you invite us to be part of your family if we ask for your forgiveness for all our wrongdoing, our sin. Thank you, Jesus, that you give us a fresh start, a new life in which we can show our love for you and for others. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to help us, comfort us, and be with us. Amen. We're going to sing now number 465 from Singing the Faith, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," during which the offering will be taken. Loving God, we offer you these gifts of money and the ones paid directly into the bank, and along with them our treasures, our time and our talents to be used for the coming of your kingdom here in this place. We ask a special blessing on all the children associated with this church, that they may continue to grow in knowledge and love of you, for we ask it in your name. Amen. We're going to come now to our prayers of intercession. And when I say, Lord, let your light shine upon us, please respond and dispel our darkness. Let us pray. Lord, move us, move our wills, and direct us by your Spirit. Help us and your whole church to know when to pull down, when to rebuild. Give us discernment and courage to do what you would have us to do. We pray for churches and communities caught up in constant change, for those who've become restless and cannot settle at all. We pray for builders up of communities and confidence for our circuit ministry team, circuit stewards, and the church's leadership teams. We pray especially for all new ministers and lay workers as they take up their ministry wherever that may be. And we pray especially for Nikki Gleason and for Janet Titterton and for Barbara as they minister in new places and new ways. Lord, let your light shine upon us. We pray for all who seek to provide good housing and places of beauty, for town and city planners, architects and builders, for all who maintain parks and gardens. We pray for those who work in the planning department as they try to balance the needs of the community and the needs of the environment. We remember all who live in areas of poverty and deprivation, for all whose lives are in danger through not having clean water or proper health care. We pray particularly for those areas of the world devastated by flooding or fires or drought because of climate change. We pray especially for the governments that they, as the international community, may bring all the help people require. May we consider how we live our lives, our impact on climate change, and change our ways. God bless all who give their lives in the building up of communities. Lord, let your light shine upon us. Lord, teach us to reverence your creation, to have respect and awe towards each other, to keep special days and times that we may be aware of you. We pray for all who have been humiliated and have lost respect for themselves or others. We pray for those who are addicts and those in prison. We ask to make our homes places of light and love, of grace and goodness and forgiveness. Lord, let your light shine upon us. We remember all who live in fear through war, oppression, or violence. We pray particularly for those from the Ukraine and Russia, for refugees and asylum seekers, and for those who are trafficked, for all who've suffered from abuse or contempt. We pray for all who have a poor opinion of themselves. We ask your blessing on all whose lives are darkened by crippling illness, all who are afraid to venture out, and for all unable to venture outside their homes. We pray for friends and loved ones who are suffering at this time. Lord, let your light shine upon us. We give thanks that you are the God who makes all things new. You heal and restore your people. We pray for loved ones who've passed from death and are in light and life everlasting. We pray especially for all in our congregation and their families who've lost loved ones over the last year. Lord, let your light shine upon us. And we bring our prayers together as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Now Carol's going to read our gospel reading. Thank you.
Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13 and verses 10 to 17. Excuse me. They're no good there, are they, on the floor? On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman who was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and she could not straighten up at all. When Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. Indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, the synagogue ruler said to the people, "There are 6 days for work, so come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath." The Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, doesn't each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or donkey from the stall and lead it out to give it water? Then should not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has kept bound for 18 long years, be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her?" When he said this, all his opponents were humiliated, but the people were delighted with all the wonderful things that he was doing. This is a word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Carol. And we sing now of all the glorious things that are spoken of God. We are so blessed to have the Bible to learn all the things that have ever been said about God and Jesus. Number 748 in Singing the Faith. Glorious things of thee are spoken.
Thank you.
Now I want you to imagine that Graham, who's walking up here, is the synagogue leader. Boo hiss.
Of course, I put her in her place, and him, making a proper show of himself, and on the Sabbath. I did feel rather sorry for her being crippled like that, and for so long. But that's no excuse to flaunt tradition and to lay hands on her in the synagogue, of all places. Of course, the people all got excited and thought it was great. But it was just the sort of thing that undermines authority and makes religion lax. So I had a go at them as well. The worst thing of all was that I felt uncomfortable, almost as if I was in the wrong, a spoil sport, a stick in the mud. But Jesus had missed the point, hadn't he? Heal, yes. But not on the Sabbath, surely. Wasn't that God's day?
Thank you, Graham. This is the last time we ever hear of Jesus being in the synagogue. It's clear by this time that the authorities were watching his every action and waiting to pounce on him whenever they got the chance. Jesus had already come into conflict with the religious leaders over how the Sabbath should be used. At this particular time, as Jesus looked over the crowd, he saw that woman who'd been bent double for 18 years. The description of this woman's infirmity suggests that the bones of her spine were fused together rigidly. The text explains that this was the work of an evil spirit. She may not have been demon-possessed because a demon didn't speak and Jesus didn't cast out any demon. Jesus attributed this woman's painful affliction to Satan's work and bondage by him. Did you notice, though, the woman didn't ask? Instead, Jesus called her. He touched her and she was instantly healed. She stood up straight for the first time in 18 years. No wonder her first response was to praise and thank God. Sadly, though, the synagogue leader couldn't see beyond the law to Jesus' compassion in healing this crippled woman. He simply concluded that if Jesus wanted to heal, he should have done it on another day. Jesus didn't need to abide by those laws, for they didn't fulfill God's intention for the Sabbath. They were suddenly burdensome on the people, these laws of the Sabbath. When Jesus made this point, all the people rejoiced. They probably appreciated a rabbi who stood up for them against the endless laws that these religious leaders had placed on every aspect of their lives. Remember the 10 commandments, or as some of the young people know, the 10 best ways to live? Well, there were only 10, but these had multiplied and developed into hundreds of laws. Jesus had shamed his enemies, and this humiliation would cause such hatred that they would plot to kill him. But we should be careful not to assume that scribes and Pharisees and others are the villains of the piece. They're not really given their own voice in these stylized conversations. And whilst there may have been some sanctimonious and pedantic, we can't assume that all of them were. Remember Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea? They were followers of Jesus and stood up for him. No doubt, even today, there may well be those in churches who are sanctimonious and pedantic, but not all. Strict Sabbath observance was only possible for those who had the means and the leisure. It excluded those who worked with animals, as Jesus pointed out, as well as peasant farmers eking out a living from a small holding, or fishermen or others. Jesus is standing up for the outcasts in this passage. First, a woman would have little standing in the community. On top of this, being ill and most likely having to beg for years would mean that no one would grant her the time of day. That is, until Jesus came along. After the woman was healed, she was able to experience freedom and acceptance for the first time in many years. By healing her, Jesus not only restores her to her community, but to both the social and religious communities. She's seen by others. The synagogue leader and those like him were people who loved systems more than people. He didn't even have the courage to address Jesus directly, but spoke his protest to the villagers, to the waiting people, although we know it was meant for Jesus. One commentary on Luke suggests that one of the great problems of a developed civilization is the relationship of the individual to the system. People can become little more than statistics. Sadly, this worship of systems commonly invades the church. It's all too true that more trouble and strife arises in churches over legalistic details of procedure based on tradition than over any other thing. In Christianity, the individual comes before the system, and commentators argue that without Christianity, there can be no such thing as democracy, because Christianity alone guarantees and defends the value of the ordinary individual man or woman. If ever Christian principles are banished from political and economic life, there's nothing left to keep at bay the totalitarian state where individuals are lost in the system and exist not for their own sake, but for the sake of the system. Jesus' action in this matter makes it clear that it's not God's will that any human being should suffer one moment longer than is necessary. If Jesus had postponed this woman's healing until the next day, no one would have criticized him, but he insisted that suffering shouldn't go on longer than is necessary. What we can do to help today should be done and not left until tomorrow. Over and over again in life, I'm sure we've all seen examples of where some good scheme is held up until this or that regulation is satisfied or a technical detail worked out. And I'm sure those petitioning for refugee status or sanctuary seekers would agree. No helpful deed that we can do today should be left until tomorrow. Jesus displayed courage before the leaders of the synagogue. The leader believed he was correct in his understanding of the Sabbath. But Jesus doesn't eradicate Sabbath observance, a key part of his own Jewish identity, so much as to shift it into a different key. Jesus demonstrated that there's more to rules and regulations. It's the interpretation of them that needs to be in people's best interests. Jesus says in Mark 2:27 that the Sabbath was made for humankind and not humankind for the Sabbath. People come first. Courage, as we heard, is a basic necessity if we're to give voice to God's message, because it always incites opposition, even within the church. But how do we respond to those who challenge us about the way we've always done things? And this is particularly topical for our circuit as we move into new ways of working. It won't always be the same. I wonder if you think about the story, who would you be in that story? We may like to imagine ourselves as the disciples of Jesus, encouraging him on, impressed by his show of defiance. Possibly we identify with the bent over woman, daring to cross the floor to the man's heart, to Jesus. But we may more honestly identify with the synagogue leader, angry at Jesus, who upsets the way things have always been done. Placing ourselves in different characters from a Bible story offers us different insights about ourselves and who we serve. And I'd like us now just to be quiet before God and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal things to us as we ponder the following questions. You might just like to close your eyes if you feel comfortable. Imagine you are a woman or a man sitting with all the others, but you're bent over and looked down upon. You've been coming to the synagogue for years, despite the way everyone treats you. Then Jesus stands up from the men's side of the synagogue and calls you over. With great courage, you stand and go over to him. The place falls silent. What ailments do you take with you to Jesus? What burden do you carry now to Jesus? What sin invades your soul and keeps you captive at the moment that you can take to Jesus? What is the memory you can't let go of as you go to Jesus? Jesus wants you to be free, really free. Allow him to touch you and heal you. We heard in Jeremiah how God comes to us. He knows us. He sets us apart. He appoints us. He tells us not to be afraid, because he is with us and will rescue us. Is God reaching out to you now? Is he touching an area of your life he wants you to be healed from? Perhaps he's asking you to be bold, have courage, and stand up for what is right. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit will give you the strength and will put the words you need to say in your mouth. Jesus blesses you, saying, "You are set free from your ailment, from all that binds you and holds you back. You've been set free. Your sin is removed, your memory released. How do you feel? What words can you use? What do you wish to say to Jesus right now?" As we continue in a prayerful mode, we're going to sing from Singing the Faith, Remaining Seated, number 508, Purify My Heart. And following all of that, you are free in the love of God. We're going to sing from Songs of Fellowship, number 665, Be Free in the Love of God. And please stand if you're able. Join in a prayer together. As we pray, gracious God, open our eyes and extend our vision. Let us see what we have to do, what we are capable of, and what we can do now. As you call us, you empower us. Make us worthy of our calling. Help us look up and see the world around us. Help us look up and see the people around us. Help us look up and see the need around us. Help us look up and know you look with us at the whole world and ask us to live in it, bringing hope and healing and new things. Help us look up and see each other. Amen. And I wonder if the children have got something they want to show us now of what you've been doing. Would you like to come up and show us? Good girl, Violet. We hold this up together. She's been colouring in all her worksheet. Isn't that lovely? Right, you hold that one. Ava's done this one. So we've got here. Can you hold that half for me, Seren? Thank you. This is Ava's. See her back, the floor, her feet. And then when she's standing up, she can see everything. And I could see them smile. Well done. And then this one. Right. Oh, this is interesting. Do you want to tell us what they are, Seren? Okay. We can see litter. We can see stones. We can see dog poo. We can see weeds, feet, and coins. That's true, yes. That's very clever, that. Looking up and see the sky, stars, people, and numbers. Right.
That was Violet's choice. She could see the numbers.
That's really good, yeah, because you wouldn't be able to see them if you were bent over. So well done. Let's give all the children a clap. Thank you. Well done. Whoops. Okay, Georgia, can I ask you just to come up for a minute, please? Because I know this is not Georgia's last Sunday, she's here next week, but it's my last Sunday with Georgia. So I just personally wanted to say thank you very much for all that you've done for me on the technology, and you've been very patient and helping teach me. She's saying, that's okay. And also, you won't know this, but when I was trying to work out how to do everything for the sabbatical talk and everything else, Georgia volunteered to come and do it. It's really good. When there's been a circuit meeting, oh, I can come and do the sound, I can do that. All these things that you don't know about. So I've just made you a little something from me to you to say thank you very much for all your help. Okay. Our closing prayer, let us pray. May we cross boundaries and find God waiting. May we go where we don't belong and find a place of welcome. May we live the gospel in dangerous places and recognize in each act of service the love of God and the start of the kingdom. Amen. The power of Almighty Father uphold you. The presence of Christ the Redeemer restore you. The peace of the Holy Spirit be about you. Amen. And let's bless one another with the words of the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, evermore. Amen. So, if you would like to play the music for us, then if anybody does want to try and sing it with me, you're very welcome. It's number 483 from Songs of Fellowship. Yes. Thank you.